Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. It is November the 1st, 2016. 1 week from today, we will be sitting here talking to you as election results roll in between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Wow. This is Anti-Media Radio. You can't go to the corporate media anymore, and you know it. Look, turn it on. That's a bunch of propaganda. It's a bunch of PR bullcrap. They're telling you what they're being paid to tell you. If you doubt me, then why do you not know what's going on with WikiLeaks? Why do you not know that everybody's turning their back on Hillary Clinton right now? Why do you not know why I've been saying for a year now that Hillary Clinton will not become the president of the United States? Now, even on this show, we have our good friend Shannon Madden, who's going to join us here in a few minutes, but he says, oh, no, it's going to be Hillary. Nick, the genius himself, editor-in-chief of the Anti-Media, nope, it's not going to be Hillary. It's propaganda. I can't tell you what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm not a soothsayer, I'm not a mind reader, but I know for a fact Hillary Clinton's not going to be the president. She was never scheduled to be the president, because that's how this works. This isn't an election, this is a selection. And corporate control, interest, rule, everything. She is a liability to them because she's not trustworthy. You got to remember, all these people with all this money, at the end of the day, there's personal relationships involved. And nobody can trust her. It's not that the American people can't trust her. It's that the people with the money can't trust her, because she is literally only about herself. Whereas the Bushes, look, you're never going to meet anybody that's as down on the Bushes as I am. But they at least would go along with the corporate controlled interest. They knew who was in charge. They knew what buttons to push, and they knew what games to play. Not Hillary. She's rogue because she's all about herself. She doesn't care about the script. She's about her. The Bushes were at least about the script, which the script screwed us. Don't think it didn't, but nobody wants Hillary to be president. She's never going to be president. I've said this repeatedly, and we'll find out within 7 days from now. We will see how that goes. I don't think it's going to be a smooth election, but who knows? There's part of me that thinks that Trump's going to win 40-something states. Anyways, let's go ahead and bring on the man himself, Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's up?
Exactly how high are you right now?
I'm not at all.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. This whole thing has been rigged. From the bottom all the way to the very top, you referenced the WikiLeaks just a moment ago. This game has been rigged. Monopoly has been set up with one person as the banker with $6,000 in fold money. Everybody else gets $20.
Yeah, it ain't Hillary. Hillary ain't the banker.
No, Hillary is not the banker. George Soros and the Rothschilds are
nobody
have been implicated
it.
As being very heavily involved in
the I get
bank.
It. I
read
get
the bank leaks, man.
I've been
the
reading them.
The game is rigged, and it is Hillary's game to lose.
I've been reading them, and I'm telling
with
you.
All of the
she's never going to be president. She's never, ever going to be president. It's not going to happen.
I'll put $100 on it right now. Right now,
if you want to be $100 light
president
in the pocket,
elect.
I didn't say president. She wasn't going to be president elect.
Marches.
I said she's never going to be president.
Oh, she's going to be president.
Nope.
Right.
No, she won't. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Kevin Knight. Kevin, what's going on?
Yeah, please do because Shannon, I'll take you up on that bet, buddy.
All right, come on, man. Come on, Tigers.
I will throw it down. In fact, Claire might even be willing to do so as well. Claire Burnish, I believe she's going to be on. You guys said a little bit later. She had a great article. Some months ago? I know she had a little bit of trouble trying to write it. Kept running into a lot of different. There's so much information out there concerning both candidates and the rigged system that she came out that Donald's going to win. So it's that time's getting closer. Let's see how well she stacks up.
Well, I tell you what, I am so excited because we have not had Claire on in for a long time, but I'm about to bring her on. But for the record, before I bring her on, Claire got the story out of my brain. maybe Donald Trump's going to be president. I still don't know. We got 7 days left, and this thing's crazy.
Y'all are still assuming that this is a valid, real,
do you know me?
God election.
Do you know me? Do you think I think that?
Then how can you come up with any other
possible Hillary solution? Clinton will never be the president of the United States.
Read them leaks, baby.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, but the leaks put forth, Shannon, I think you're talking about the leaks that put forth where the Hillary camp wanted Donald to be the president-elect for the Republican Party. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, not only that.
I guess that and the George Soros.
The money that's involved in her campaign. That money is, and there's a huge mountain and sea of it, to counter the fact that she's going against a billionaire who's running on his own money.
Just a reminder for people who don't know.
Press that we're giving him right fucking now.
Listen, just so people who don't know, that money, we've got, over $20 million that's been funneled through Saudi Arabia, come directly from Saudi Arabia, I stand corrected, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait. Hillary Clinton's own emails via WikiLeaks from the Podesta emails. They admit that Saudi Arabia, who Congress has already acknowledged was behind 9/11, they've already acknowledged in her own emails that Saudi Arabia is behind funding ISIS, Qatar is behind funding ISIS. He gives $1 million to Bill Clinton for his birthday. No problem. We'll take money who funds ISIS because that's what they want. They want ISIS to be causing chaos. They want them to be causing havoc. I'm sorry, that is a scary reality. Because it's crazy. That's crazy and terrifying. It sounds nuts, but it's true. They don't want Assad in power. They want to run through these countries. They did it in Libya. They did it in Iraq. Afghanistan is a mess. We're looking at the Middle East right now as a result. A direct, not indirect, a direct result of U.S. foreign policy.
Our tax dollars hard at work.
Blowback, what Ron Paul called blowback. And I think, it's funny how many people have come around just in the last few years and saying, and of course, he's not the only one saying it. Dennis Kucinich was from the left, from the Democrats. He was sounding the alarm as well. But you've got more and more people that at one time laughed at the idea of U.S. foreign policy causing terrorism around the world, not just here in the U.S., but slowly but surely, I think the American people are starting to wake up and realize that, in fact, blowback is not just some catchphrase. It is a real, genuine
you know, it's a daily, beginning to be a daily fact of life for us, and it's been a daily fact of life for people around the world for a long time. So,
well,
we're seeing it.
I think you said it, Kevin. It's really a direct result around the world. We in the United States, if you're not keeping up with foreign policy, we in the United States are very, very, very blessed. Hell has been unleashed on this planet in the Middle East. If you go look at what's happening in Syria, if you go look at what's happening in Yemen, Yemen's, don't even get me started on that, because that's U.S. bombs. That's your tax dollars at work. There is a famine to such a level that there's children dying of starvation. And the United States foreign policy and their bombs, because they want to make money, are perpetrating that. There have been many U.S. politicians that have said it. But most recently, Boris Johnson, if you don't know who Boris Johnson is, he is the equivalent of the Secretary of State in the UK right now. He's the former mayor of London. And if you don't believe that the UK and US are tied at the hip foreign policy-wise, then please go and do your research, because there's not enough time on the show tonight to break that down.
Several shows for that matter.
Right. Yeah. But Boris Johnson just came out the other day and said, well, if we don't sell the weapons to Saudi Arabia, then somebody else will. That's the logic of a drug dealer. Well, if we don't sell these kids heroin, somebody else is going to sell it to them, so we might as well make the money. That's disgusting. Disgusting.
You know, you mentioned the foreign policy of those two countries. I don't know, like you said, we don't have time to get off on it, but I can't help but always bring up, when we get this, we teeter this close to and get this in the weeds with foreign policy, the Council of Foreign Relations here in the U.S. and the Royal Institute of Foreign Affairs, that's the European branch. Those are your two shot callers when it comes to the foreign policy in this country. You know, there's a lot of different organizations that are all vying for their piece of the pie. But if you don't believe those two organizations help run this country when it comes to foreign policy, go on YouTube and watch Hillary Clinton talk about the fact that the U.S. State Department now has a building so close to the council that they no longer have to go very far to find out how they should think and operate in the future. Dick Cheney's talked about that. A lot of these guys are members of these organizations, so it's no surprise when we don't see a big pushback from Donald Trump. Trump gets in there, we're not going to see a huge swing as far as adjustment when it comes to military expansion and foreign policy. It's here to stay. And,
it is here to stay. And even Trump, who a lot of his supporters talk about, well, Trump doesn't want this country. Trump doesn't want to bomb that country.
I've said that.
Look, that's because Trump just says what he has to say, and that's why I don't trust him. He just says everything. And because he's made every statement and been on every side of every policy, somebody can agree with him on something. But he repeatedly talks about the expansion of the military, I'm sorry, do you think that the military is out there passing out flowers promoting peace? They're not. There are people dying all over the world because of the U.S. military. And I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but these people haven't attacked us. They haven't. It's really tough for it to settle in your stomach. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people dying every year because of U.S. foreign policy on such a disgusting level. But you, look, everybody has it in their head. Well, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. It's my team. It's my team. And you become emotionally attached to it. And you just forget about all the other. It's like if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and you're playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady goes down with an injury in the Super Bowl, you don't care about a guy that got hurt. You could care less. All you think is, yeah, now we're going to win the game, because you're emotionally attached to some sort of superficial team that you're really not even a part of. I'm going to go ahead and bring on a wonderful writer for many organizations. Claire Burnish. Claire, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I could complain, but nobody's going to listen to me. So,
what's up, Claire? It's good to be back on the same wavelength as you.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Claire. How you been?
Okay, so to break the silence here, I would have to say that I also believe that there is a very feasible chance that Donald Trump will win, and that also I agree with the fact that U.S. foreign policy will not change, no matter what. We are going to go to war, you know, continually for as long as it is entirely possible, because it feeds the war machine, which our tax dollars also feed, and it's this endless loop of profiteering for, you know, the small cadre of politicians and, like, individual corporations and everything else, and none of us reap the benefits, and it causes death and destruction worldwide. So it's going to go on endlessly, no matter what. And people say that Hillary is the war hawk, and indeed she is. You know, Hillary Clinton is, in fact, a war hawk, and she will bring us probably into a number of new wars. But Donald Trump is not going to do anything to stop any of this from happening either. And I think that people kind of ignore that. You know, his domestic policy is going to be a freaking nightmare, but he will also continue the wars. So.
But, and here's the sad part. We're coming off of Obama, which has got, what, 2 months left in his presidency, depending on what happens in the next week. Who knows? Because, I mean, this rate, Hillary could literally be in prison. She's certainly done enough, and there's enough evidence to suggest that she should be in prison by now. If you are somehow living in this false narrative of she shouldn't, well, I hate to break it to you, but your emotions have grabbed a hold of your logic, and you were completely wrong, because she should be. She should be in jail for treason, if you want to know my honest opinion. We'll see what happens. I think we've got a story that's going to be coming out on the anti-media in the morning. But for whatever reason, we have had Elizabeth Warren, we have had John Kerry, we've had Michelle Obama. They are no longer, as silly as it sounds, no longer following Hillary Clinton on Twitter. It sounds like a stupid thing 10 years ago. Who cares? It's so fickle. But why would all of these politicians go out of their way to hit unfollow on somebody? It sounds like they're distancing themselves for some reason. Let's not forget that last Friday, James Comey, who Democrats adored because of his actions in July, saying, well, we know she broke the law a million ways to Sunday, but we're not going to charge her. So they loved her, or they loved him. And now, because his reputation's on the line, they discovered obviously something else via Anthony Weiner.
That guy.
Who knows? Who knows what they have? Who knows what they know? Anyone who believes Hillary Clinton should be president, you deserve her. You deserve her, but I don't want her.
Can I rewind just for a quick second? Because I think it's important also, while everybody's chatting about what's on is on Anthony Weiner's phone, there's one other thing that needs to kind of be, you know, revisited, and that's the fact of why his phone was confiscated in the first place. I'm not trying to turn this into a scandal and salacious. I mean, we're talking about Anthony Weiner, a fine, upstanding gentleman, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, well, he was sexting a 15-year-old girl. This is, again, these are the politicians that you vote for. I don't think I need to bring up something that Trump said 10 years ago in a locker room, or something that Bill Clinton does, I think, weekly, rape women. And, I mean, where does this stop? Where does this end?
Well, think about how brainwashed people are, because when this whole scandal broke via Anthony Weiner years ago, or via Andrew Breitbart is who dropped the initial accusations on Weiner back in the day about sexting women. He was called crazy. Oh, that's a crazy conspiracy. Like, honestly,
that's
just
a political smear.
Do you want to know right now? This is the truth. This is a fact. The craziest conspiracy out there right now, crazier than anything Alex Jones ever said, Bill Cooper, Rich, whatever conspiracy you want to go down, the nuttiest thing being said is Hillary Clinton and this Russia stuff. There's zero evidence for it. There's actually, and I'm not one to defend Donald Trump, there's no connection between Donald Trump and Russia. Sorry.
The only thing we know for sure is that there was a Russian, apparently a Russian hack attempt on the Hillary's campaign or something
like
that.
That's not even true. It was a phishing attempt from Ukraine. Yeah. That's not even...
The thing is, though, there's all this Russian blaming because we have to have this Russian aggression narrative in order to further the fact that NATO is building up along Russia's borders. None of this is even the small and thin associations that these candidates have with Russia are really inconsequential to the fact that there is no aggressive Russian hacking attempt or terrorist attempt or anything else. Russia is not trying to influence the election. Really, Putin is sitting back and kind of laughing at us right now, because if you look at what a, pardon me, but shit show this is right now, everybody has to laugh at this. I mean, you're talking about this warmongering candidate who is about to fall over at any second, and this other person who is about to institute fascism in the U.S., neither one of which is really qualified to be anywhere but in prison. And, I mean, we're trying to still kind of have credibility worldwide. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And there is no credibility to be had.
No, Putin doesn't have to influence any election if the end result is to laugh at the United States and look at what a joke it is. Why would he have to? Because it looks like that both parties have done it to themselves. And this has been years and years coming. I mean, we talk about this, and we talked about this on this show. I talked about this years prior to this show. When you get somebody like George W. against Al Gore, George W. against John Kerry, Barack Obama, which everybody said I was wrong about Barack Obama, 8 countries at least bombed later with his Nobel Peace Prize hanging around his neck. How's that worked out for everybody? Well, we need Obamacare. That's going to work out. That's going to be great. We have to do that. How's that worked out for everybody as your premiums rise? It's a big scam. And everybody keeps buying into it because they think it's somehow their savior, and it's not. It's just a bunch of greedy people. A bunch of greedy people that does not care about you. They don't care about me. They don't. They're selfish. Period. That probably doesn't make them a lot different than most people, to be honest with you. But people need to get out of this mindset, well, they're selfless servants to the people. Oh, they're going to help us. No, they're not. They're going to help themselves. And if somebody presents them with an opportunity to help themselves and it screws everybody else, at least in modern times, they've taken that way because that's what we see. It's an absolute farce that people buy into this garbage.
Yeah, you thought you would. I've heard a few people make the claim, and I didn't really agree with it. I thought it was kind of an ignorant position to take, but I'm starting to come around to an extent that, we had 8 years of Barack Obama. Obviously, it was horrible. And at 8 years of George Bush, it was obviously horrible. And maybe part of the thing that will mess this whole idea up is Americans have short-term memories, very short-term memories. Or have issues with it. But, maybe we need 6 years, 8 years of a Republican, so-called Republican in office to completely just mess everything up. I think Trump's going to get reelected automatically. I can imagine that.
Is there any difference, though? Does it really matter which party is in power? I mean, don't they ultimately want the same things? there might be some differences in that Republicans might, like, say Trump wants some very dictatorial domestic policies, and Hillary Clinton wants some dictatorial foreign policies. But really, in the end, is there any difference at all? I mean, don't they ultimately lead to the same thing?
Yeah, they are.
Democrats, there is no difference. I don't think either one of y'all or Shannon sitting here next to me would disagree with the fact, as much as a Trump presidency scares me. And look, we're going to have a long time to talk about that. But
well,
let me say something. What other Republican, whether it was Jeb Bush, whether it was Marco Rubio, John Kasich, whoever the candidate may have been, Ted Cruz, what other candidate would have absolutely decimated the Republican Party in the way that Donald Trump has, and done it braggadociously, laughing, sticking a middle finger up at them, and making them look like children? Now, is that a detriment to where we're at? Possibly. But I can tell you, genuinely, I can't say this enough. Donald Trump does not need to be the president of the United States. I laughed. I laughed as he embarrassed Jeb Bush. I laughed as he embarrassed Marco Rubio, because those people needed to be embarrassed.
Little Marco.
Right. They needed it. So, and I'll say this. I don't think without the disruption, which is what Donald Trump is a huge disruption, plus how corrupt Hillary is. I don't think if you'd have gotten Joe Biden, we'd have seen this either, or even Bernie Sanders. It's been the perfect two candidates to expose the system for what it is. Americans are waking up all around the country for what a joke this has become. I have had so many people apologize to me that said, you're crazy. For years, I was a nut job. You believe this. Oh, you're crazy. It's a, people have apologized to me right and left. You were right. You were right. And that's because we've had Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. There has to be some silver lining to all this. And I believe that silver lining is that the American people have finally gone, what is going on?
You have a lot of people that have recently woke up and have no idea which way to turn. And a fellow like Trump looks somewhat appealing, because at least he's not like all of the other ones. He says a bunch of crazy crap, and hell, I say a lot of crazy crap. Maybe this is my guy. Maybe this is my chance for my voice.
I truly believe that the Republicans wanted Marco Rubio to be their candidate.
Yeah.
And obviously the Democrats wanted Hillary, but I believe the people that are in the Democratic Party, like the American citizens, the thousands and thousands around the country, wanted Bernie Sanders. Right.
Yeah, they got burned.
So in theory, you could have seen an election between Marco Rubio and Bernie Sanders. We wouldn't have any of these same conversations we're having
now.
Right,
it would
now
just be a normal, regular election, not really
you'd have
fanfare.
And, you know, and listen, and Rubio would have won in a landslide, because the biggest thing that they attack Republicans on is racism, racism, racism. And you had this good-looking Latino guy.
So how did we end up with what we have now?
Because of insanity. Because this is what has been brought on us from such a rigged system. Hillary cheated her way into this position. Go ask Donna Brazile. Go ask Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Go ask Tim Kaine. The Democratic Party helped overthrow Hillary Clinton becoming the nominee. Donald Trump is a lunatic. And he's really, really good when there's a camera on him.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want Donald Trump to be president, but I'll say it. I laughed as he mocked Marco Rubio. I laughed as he mocked Ted Cruz, because I mocked those people too.
They tag-teamed on Trump, and Trump just came out with a double clothesline.
Right.
But it's more than that too, though. You're looking at two candidates. I mean, how laughable is it that you have two candidates who are literally criminals, who are looking at office? You have one who is under active investigation a second time, and another who is under investigation for rape and, like, business, like, fraud and everything else. How are we supposed to be taken seriously? How is anybody supposed to vote for either of these candidates in any degree of seriousness? You can't say, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump because Hillary is evil, or vice versa, because there is no such other ground. They are both equally, absolutely horrendous for this country, and they will bring nothing but, like, just terrible policy for the country and for the world. And there is, at this point, really the best candidate is Giant Meteor.
I will say this, and I've said this many times, I never thought I would say this. Of the four candidates, because I'll tell you this, people overlook it because they have polls. We have poll numbers, and they mean so much, because all poll numbers do are just meant to sway public opinion. They mean squat, they're made up, they mean nothing. And I intentionally avoid them, no matter who puts the poll out. I don't care. Maybe one of them is right, but there's so many of them. And they're so diluted and propaganda meant to sway public opinion. Who cares? I guarantee you, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein will get a larger percentage of the vote than anyone even imagines.
I agree.
That doesn't mean that either one of them are going to win. That doesn't mean anything like that's going to happen. But there are going to be so many people that walk into that voting booth that say exactly what you just said, Claire, and go, it's my duty to vote. You know how people, they go, it's my duty to vote. And they look down at it, and they go, I can't physically stomach putting my name next to these two people. And they're going to either vote whether they're liberal and formally supported Bernie Sanders, they're going to vote Jill Stein, or they're just going to vote Gary Johnson because they've heard of libertarians before.
They're probably going to vote for anything that isn't Clinton or Trump.
That's it.
If they look down at the ticket and they don't even have any knowledge of who these candidates are that are third parties, that are alternatives, they're probably just going to vote for them anyway because something has to be better.
I agree, and I think because of that, Jill Stein and Gary Sanders, but they'll get a larger amount of the vote than people realize. They will. That will happen. And people are going to, oh, it's going to be so disgusting because they're going to, this Ralph Nader business, because whoever, which more than likely at this point, we have 7 days to go. And in this election, that's two lifetimes, especially with, we have the election. There is no telling what's going to come out in the next 7 days. But they're going to say, oh, you're the spoiler. Trump's the president because of Gary. They're going to blame it on Gary Johnson. Or they're going to blame it on Jill Stein. The only person that is to blame if Donald Trump becomes the president is Hillary Clinton. Because the Democrats, the people, did not want her. They wanted Bernie Sanders. I don't agree with Bernie Sanders' policies, but the people did of the Democratic Party. They wanted him. But it was rigged, and they overthrew it. And now they're going to reap what they've sown, and she's going to get destroyed in an election. I don't care how rigged it is.
It's kind of funny.
Does it matter at all who actually – this is my point overall. I mean, I realize that I'm coming from an anarchist perspective, and people aren't necessarily familiar with what that is or what it means to not vote. I mean, I understand that people have this – just complete indoctrination that voting is a duty, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. But does it really matter in the end who comes into office? I mean, we're basically choosing between, like, fascism and communism or, you know, I mean, like, any way you look at it, this is going to be an authoritarian, essentially dictatorship that's coming into office. We're either going to foreign wars immediately or we're going to civil war immediately. I mean, it's not meant to be fear-mongering. It's just that really is the picture that we're looking at, and neither candidate matters, and everybody forgets the fact that Trump and Hillary are friends. For decades, they've been friends. I mean,
Their daughters are still best friends.
Right. These people have their own interests in mind that has nothing at all to do with anything the populace wants at all. Like, our interests matter not even a single iota to these people. It has to do with pleasing the banks and the industries and the people that are funding their campaigns and that will fund the foreign policy and that will make and that will pull the strings and make these things possible. It has nothing to do with us. And we are provided with the illusion of voting as if it's some sort of security and comfort to make us feel better as if we had a choice in the first place.
You hit on something, Claire, which I completely agree with you on, is that one candidate you're going to get basically World War III, and that's with Hillary, and the other one, Civil War. Geez Louise, I don't want to see that in any way, shape, or form. You're never going to meet anybody that preaches nonviolence more than me, because that's ridiculous, whether it's foreign or here. I presume, hopefully I'm wrong, if Trump wins, I think there will be people rioting that night. I think there will be people in the streets throwing stuff out of anger. If Trump wins and it is a huge landslide, I don't see people reacting well. If Trump wins on any level, whether it's by one vote, I don't see people reacting well.
I don't know. I think that's probably a little bit more much ado about nothing. Now, when Hillary is put in place, because she won't be elected in, that's the only way that she's going to be.
She's not going to be your president.
I know.
I didn't say. Look,
money's on the table, baby. Kevin's already in.
I agree with you already. I think I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, the whole thing is you've referenced it your own self for the past 30 minutes now about how rigged this situation is.
She's
you
not
just
be president.
Brought up the Bernie Sanders situation.
She's not going to be president.
And that's assuming that
I agree with you.
Actual fair election. This is not.
I never said it, but she's not going to be president.
It was never an election to begin with. This is a selection.
It always has been.
Yeah, these two candidates, you have to remember, seriously, this burns me up. These two candidates were meant to complement each other. They have been friends for decades for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
One of them or the other is going to be in office. They were both meant to be the nominees because either one of them will do what it is that the elites want. Like, they'll have perhaps different bents in terms of totalitarianism or fascism or, you know, however you want to look at it. But they will do what it is the elites want. They both, like, for instance, they both have vested interests in the Dakota Access Pipeline. They both have vested interests in Wall Street. They both have vested interests in, you know, industry and these quote-unquote free trade agreements that are really just giveaways to corporations around the world to affect tyranny on everybody else. Each of these candidates have vested interests in the same things. They just appear different to the populace. It's key. I mean, that's what everybody seems to forget, is that they look at these people as if they have major differences, and they really actually don't.
It's like two different cars that are manufactured by a company, and one has some mirrors that have a little point on them, and the other one has a headlight that is kind of funky. But ultimately, if you lift up the hood, it's still pretty much the same engine, the same brakes, the same everything. And you're absolutely right. I think we talk about Reagan from time to time on this show. And that's a perfect example. If you look at the trajectory of his presidency, the decisions that were made and the little mishaps and scrapes that he got into, I mean, it was part of that agenda that he definitely didn't campaign on in 1980, correct?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's the thing. It's, these candidates for time immemorial don't have all that much of a difference, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that we have a duopoly and not like a multi-party system, say, as the UK does. And I'm not saying that their system is necessarily any better, but we don't have a proliferation of choices for a very distinct reason. These elections serve as an illusion of control and as an illusion of choice for the people. It's Panamanus Circenses for the people, bread and circuses. This is meant to distract from the fact that a ruling elite is going to lord over our lives. And yes, there are different kind of divergent policies or whatever, what have you. And it's not even conspiratorial. I am a notorious non-tinfoil hat wearing individual. But what I'm saying is these people have interests that are outside our own, and it's necessary to remember how similar they are and how different we are from the state. And I think when people remember that, they'll realize how little choice there actually is in either candidate.
There's no choice. You know, Claire, you mentioned it's not a conspiracy theory. Bill Clinton, I think I mentioned this once before, Bill Clinton cites Professor Carol Quigley as one of his mentors. Professor Carol Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope that's real famous. Dr. Ron Paul, of course, has mentioned it several times in the past, but it was written back in, I think, the early 1940s, 50s. But it was a professor who was allowed to hang out with a lot of the guys from the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, some of the bigger players, actually in the Fabian Socialist Society as well, which actually happened to be a lot of the people in the federal government at the time, all of the social elites actually belonged to. And that's exactly what he actually was allowed to hang out with these guys for a while, use a lot of their resources, and produce this book, and actually called and said, almost verbatim, Claire, what you're speaking about, that the goal would be to have two different separate wings of the U.S., controlling U.S. foreign policy, not just foreign policy, but national policy as well, that no matter which direction, no matter which hand was chosen, be it the left or the right, that it would always continue to serve basically the state and the ever-growing government. And that is exactly what Dr. Carol Quigley said. Tragedy and Hope went on to be a pretty big seller. In fact, it was trying to be pulled off the bookshelves. A lot of people were in the elitist so-called circles were a little upset that this stuff had actually gotten a little popular thanks to a couple groups that were outing it. So it was attempted to be pulled off and re-released, republished it. You can find it out there. It's still floating around. But it just goes to show you it's not conspiracy theory. It's just something that most people don't have time to deal with. Your average Republican Democrat voter, it goes right over their head. But it's like you guys are saying, it's all – whichever person we vote for, if you're the voting type, I mean, face it, if you want to get taken advantage of by person A or person B, do your thing. But either way, it's going to be the end result. And there's it's long. It's not something that just popped up, unfortunately.
Here's the thing I think most people overlook. It becomes this huge, grand talking point of this politics against this politics. At the end of the day, it's individuals making decisions. And individuals either are so entrenched in their own stubbornness, which I think you see a lot of with the right and a belief system, and they twist their beliefs around to make it feel comfortable to them. Where on the left, you see this pseudo-intellectualism, and they are just, we're so much, everybody thinks they know everything, no matter which side it's on. I'm right, and you're wrong, and screw you. That's how everybody believes in this country. And they've been divided like that on purpose. And that's what nobody seems to understand, that they have fallen for the game hook, line, and sinker. Well, I'm going to vote for, or I'm going to vote for, because I believe this. At the end of the day, we're all human beings on this planet. We're all trying to survive together. I don't want to hurt anybody, and I guarantee you, if you took a poll, which we know how that works out, most people don't want to hurt anybody either. They want to live around their neighbors. They want to have a good life, no matter if they're left, no matter if they're right. But no, you get all this rhetoric, you get all this BS, and it's just constant division. And it's caused mainly by politicians. And that's how they keep people in check. Nobody seems to understand that. Do people really think? We've seen in this election cycle what people think about David Duke. Nobody. Who cares what David Duke thinks? First off, he's a lunatic. Exactly. But let's forget the fact that he's an idiot, racist, hateful person. Okay? Who's following him? Nobody. Nobody's following that guy.
I haven't heard his name in years.
And they bring him up.
Suddenly pops up like he's like.
He's important.
Yeah.
Well, he's supporting Trump. So that just means that's called division. That's called people buying into something. And it's
also called propaganda.
Of course it is. And it's disgusting.
It's effective propaganda.
It's disgusting. I don't know. Who cares what that moron thinks? Even the people that are out there that are racist, nobody's looking to David Duke to find out who they're supposed to vote for. That is done for complete division of society. Because if society is divided, then they are still in control. They want you to be at your neighbor's throat so you aren't paying attention to the fact they've got a boot around yours. Period. And yet everybody is too stubborn to realize that. That's what it boils down to, because I know more than you, or you know more than me. I'm not about to sit here and pretend that I know more than the next guy, but what I do know for a fact is that we've all been hoodwinked. We've all been lied to for years and years and years and years. Whether it was a Republican, whether it was a Democrat, we've been lied to. But they have this system in place. But they have this system in place, and they're going to help us. Have they? How's that worked out? Let's go back and look at Democrat Bill Clinton. Oh, everything was great. Everything was so grand. Why do you think, speaking to the right, why do you think we have a destruction of families in this country? It's because of Bill Clinton. And why? Because of drug laws and mandatory sentencing. While the right's all for drug laws, Bill Clinton gave them to you and did the mandatory sentencing the right wanted. And that broke down the family that the right's completely against.
Well, that's not only to mention the fact that 8-year-old suddenly figured out what a blowjob was on national TV because of his exploits in the Oval Office, I might add. Now, you want to talk about family values? Come on, let's get it.
But everybody's played against each other, and nobody realizes it. Barack Obama on the left, Peace Prize winner, 8 countries. Bush bombed 4! Bush was a warmonger. And he bombed 4. Obama's bombed twice as many, and he's got a Nobel Peace Prize. So please spare me your, but they'll do this. But they'll do this. They're not going to do nothing for you. It's time for us as a people, as Tupac said, to start making some changes. We got to change the way we eat. We got to change the way we live. And we got to change the way we treat each other, because the old way wasn't working. So it's on us as a people, to do what we've got to do to survive. And let me tell you something. Those politicians aren't there to help you. They're there to help themselves. It doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, whoever. They're in it for themselves, and they certainly are not there to help you. If Hillary Clinton's some great woman, can anybody point out to me in these thousands of emails that have been released from John Podesta, can you show me one where they're trying to help somebody? Anybody? I've seen many, many, many that have shown nothing. I've seen many that show them breaking the law. But I haven't seen any emails that they were just, well, we have to help these people because we care. I hadn't seen that email because it's not there. Because they don't care about helping people. They care about helping themselves. It's a crime syndicate. Wake up.
The one common denominator between Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and all of the corporate-owned oligarchy, the corporate-controlled oligarchy, is the fact that all we are, the American citizens, the average American citizen, all we are is a cow to milk and slaughter for meat. That is it. All we're here is to get a dollar amount, somehow, some kind of way. And that's it. And once we've outlived our usefulness, or we happen to be a loud, abrasive cow that doesn't like to have a rope around its neck, well, then we get shuffled off over to the corner. And you know what happens over in that corner. You get sent off to the glue factory or become dog food. That's where we're at. I mean, that really is where we're at right now. And that's what these people think of us. That's why the middle class, that which is now just about all but disappeared, that's why people are so frustrated. That's why people are so afraid. Because that's it. That's all we are as cattle.
Meat. Well, people are afraid because fear is being generated. Fear is being generated on both sides.
But don't you think for a second that it's not a healthy fear? Aren't you watching what's going on at Standing Rock right now? That's it. That's the last little bit of American dignity and American pride right there. No, particularly the Native Americans. Come on.
It's a display of power. It's a display of power. Like, the state is going down. People realize that it's basically the government, the state, versus all of us individuals, no matter our differences. People are starting to understand that, like, in a very tangible way. And the show of power in Standing Rock against completely unarmed people is its last display of force. And it's effective in the way that it looks, and that it actually serves the purpose of the people. Because when you take a militarized force that is better suited to be on the battlefields of Iraq than the soldiers there, and you pit them against people who are unarmed, who are doing nothing more than praying or perhaps trespassing on land that is supposedly corporate owned, that much of it usurped from individual property owners. When you take that display of force, it is a very clear sign. I mean, at least to me, it's a very clear sign that it's the last throes of the state trying to, like, show its force because it knows that it has none. It knows already that the people have figured it out. The people have figured out the game. The jig is up. We've seen what's going on. We're tired of it. And the people are not going to stand for this crap anymore. I mean, that's it. When you start taking people's property, when you start again exploiting Native Americans, I mean, forcefully in this way, people aren't going to stand for this anymore.
And here's a question, and I think this is very feasible, and it's part of the reason I have said repeatedly Hillary Clinton will never be the president of the United States. Do you think it's, how feasible do you believe Claire, Kevin, or Shannon, that they offer up Hillary Clinton as a sacrifice to go, look, you got us. You got us. We're corrupt. Here you go. She's corrupt.
More likely than not, I would say. I don't think that was the plan when originally, obviously, when Hillary, per WikiLeaks, wanted to boost Donald's representation. But I think now that Donald's done what he's done and kind of took off the other direction to an extent, I think, yeah, that sounds completely feasible.
He's the insurance policy.
Say what?
He's the insurance policy, in my opinion. Look at their longstanding relationship.
I know that they've been friends for years and years and years, Claire, and there's no questioning that that's 100%. We talked about this last week on the show. Either, I think over the course of this, I don't know how this started and if they were high-fiving in the back, and completely possible they were. Especially if you saw them at the dinner that they did where they were roasting each other. I don't think they're that good of actors. I legitimately believe that there's, like, hate between them now. And I don't know if it's grown since the beginning of this election.
Well, of course it has. Have you heard some of the things he said about her, which are all pretty much true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the foul stuff that has been said from each other's mouth towards the other one, like, I get that it's a game and this and that, but I really genuinely believe they do hate each other's guts at this point, both of them.
I'm sure that they do, but you've got to look at the fact they're both criminals.
So you can't. I don't blame either one of them for that. Yeah. But I mean, I genuinely believe at this point, you know, with a week to go into the election, that hatred towards each other is real. I think maybe at one point they were like, "Oh, this is going to be cute," but no, I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they are genuinely, there's a distaste for each other's. You know,
and both of them go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you're talking about a friendship that's based on profiteering and money and, like, political manipulation and convenience and how each one can use each other. So I'm not saying that their decades-old friendship is anything to do with any real sort of friendship whatsoever. It has to do with manipulation and usership and the ability to manipulate one another. So, of course, they're going to despise each other at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think either one. Donald Trump's probably a better actor than she is because he's had a lot more experience. Well, I say that. She's been in Washington for a whole long time, so she's got a bunch of experience acting, too. But, nah, neither one of them are Oscar-worthy. And, you know, they would both deserve the Oscar for the just the hate you see spewing out of their eyes towards each other at this point. And she has gone complete... And this is something that's overlooked. She's gone complete conspiracy theorist. Like, complete off-the-rails conspiracy. And because of who she is and her position, it's being passed off as... And there's people believing it. If she was a radio host that was just kept continually ranting about, it's all Russia, it's all Russia. Howard Dean! Who's usually pretty drunk from what I've seen, or at least on some, came out after the FBI and James Comey. It's like, James Comey's in bed with Putin now. Like, they flipped. Like, they've, like the last brain cell's gone.
Hillary Clinton is Alexa Jones.
You know, true, but I think at this point she's way past him. Way past him. She's just saying stuff to save herself. And it's like she's grasping at some flotation device and she's being taken down in the ocean. This is years of corruption. People want to, you know, make it out like, well, you know, she, this is since she was sick. This is years and years and years of corruption. Years of lies. I think it's been pretty well known, and if you're honest with yourself, I think you know it too, that Bill Clinton hates her guts. I think she hates Bill Clinton's guts, probably. That's a business relationship. Speaking of people that are friends that make it work for mutual beneficiary reasons, is Bill and Hillary. But this is decades of corruption piling up. And I said it before this election started that Bill Clinton is going to hate her guts for running because there's going to be so much brought up that he would have never heard again. You have people on national TV going, Bill Clinton's a rapist, Bill Clinton's a rapist. Nobody would be doing that if she wasn't running for president. The FBI wouldn't be investigating her if she wasn't running for president. They could have gone and lived their life and had all the money in the world and done whatever they wanted, but it wasn't enough for her. Her greed, her selfishness has brought all this down collapsing on top of them. And if anyone should truly hate her, it's Bill Clinton, because all he had to do was chill, go to his island with his teenage girls because he's a scumbag with Jeffrey Epstein and live his life. But all of this is coming down because of her. Because it wasn't enough. She had to get hers, too. And you know what? She's going to get hers, all right.
She's going to be the president of the United States. I got $100 on it with you and Kevin. The audience is witness to this. I'm going to be rich. Y'all going to pay me. And Hillary is going to go ahead and bomb the rest of it.
$200 will be rich if Hillary Clinton's president.
I better hurry up.
I got $100 against you there.
It's not going to happen. She's not going to be president. She will not
be
president.
The game is rigged, my friend. Full disclaimer, I don't want her to be president. I don't want
nobody. We don't have to have that conversation.
Who does?
We don't need a president.
Who wants Hillary for president? Anybody? I don't think so.
No.
They're too scared. I'll tell you what, that's it for us. Back on Thursday. I am missing Gift. Yo, here we go through the stereo.